She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's an action-packed show. I always think that I start the shows kind of breathless, and that's because I'm so excited about my guest, and I'm so blessed to be Mrs. Green. Truly, truly, truly mean that from my heart. First up is Lee Weinraub, and she is, on paper, Miraval's tennis coach and wellness counselor, but what she really is indescribable. She's an extraordinary human being. Stop laughing, Lee. You are. I want to embarrass you. And you have so much to share with us. I recently was at a retreat at Miraval Resorts in Tucson, and anybody who follows me know that I picture if I die and go to heaven, I will wake up at Miraval, which is really a great thing. I hope that's not for a really long time. But it really wasn't a lecture. It was a sharing, because she didn't talk at us. She shared with us. And she talked about things that to me are way beyond her earth years in her knowledge and in her experience. So I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to kind of set the stage for talking about sports is a metaphor. You talked about our strengths. You talked about the emotional, physical, and intellectual combination for growth. Your therapy is non-traditional. I made a comment to her before we got on air, and she said, it sounds like we could take a walk and talk about that, because she's right. I suffer from Catholic guilt, and Lee is the kind of person that helps you deal with it. So, Lee, it has been an exciting time for the United States with the Olympics. We're doing very well. I have been glued to the TV every night with my husband and grandchildren, and the thing we comment about the most is the discipline that it has got to take, that I cannot conceive of, to live the Olympic life, to make it to the Olympics, to be in the top of the world in whatever your field is. Even if you finish last in your field, you're in the Olympics. So can we kind of weave that into your work at Miraval and to your presence on the planet, and share with our listeners, what is it like to live the Olympic life? It's not just about their physical training.
That's actually one thing that I've been thinking a lot about as I watch the Olympics, is that when you turn on the TV and you see it sort of in the moment as it's all coming out in performance mode, you don't see all of the hours, minutes, daily commitments, and the preparation that would lead up to that moment. And it also is fairly astounding that as you watch, and I don't know what it is about this particular year, but it seems to me like every time I turn on the TV to watch it, there are constant still mistakes. So these people are human, even though they're training 10
yes.
hours a day.
Yes.
But I wish that they did a little bit more to talk about the training that goes into it, because a lot of people just watch the performance mode. So when I try to use sports as the metaphor for all sorts of issues in life, I definitely talk a lot more about what it takes in the non-performance hours, the building up and the mental, physical, spiritual training to be able to peak in that moment, sort of what happens behind the scenes. And one of the things I think people don't see a lot of when you're watching an athlete in their moments of glory is how much recovery they need, because they're training at such a high intensity, but they are also simultaneously mastering their recovery. This is something I talk all the time at Miraval to people about. So an analogy I love to use. People totally get it when you talk about the physical world. They get the tangibles.
Right.
But when you link the physical world and then try to make an analogy to the abstract emotional world people live in, it's a little bit more challenging. So when you see, if someone were to come in and say, Lee, I want to have really, you know, ripped arms. I really want to be very lean and have a great upper body. They'd go to the gym. They'd work out for an hour. They would do push-ups. They would do pull-ups. They would train their muscles really hard, and at the end of the hour, they'd go home, they'd chill out, they'd drink water, eat protein, and they'd come back maybe every day, every other day. So they would rest in between the workouts. You get that. You wouldn't stay in the gym and keep curling and keep curling and keep bench pressing and keep bench pressing.
Right, until you got to find triceps, right.
Right. You would get a stress fracture. You would hurt your arm. So you'd have to actually leave the gym and replenish. But when it comes to people's minds and people's hearts and souls, they don't necessarily see the blind, compounding, cumulative effects of stress. And then by the time maybe they get to Miraval or they reach a higher level of enlightenment and take a look at themselves, they realize, wow, maybe I've gained 20 pounds because I've not seen the cumulative effects of the stress. Or maybe their relationships have deteriorated or they've developed an ulcer because they have not seen the blind effects of stress. So I really try to get people thinking, like, look at an athlete and how they train their legs. And now let's equate that to what you've been doing with ruminating about guilt.
Right, right.
And
right.
How are you going to recover from that? How are you going to, you know, get some sort of recovery? Does
and
that
I
make
think
sense?
What gives such credibility to me about what you say is that you were a top nationally ranked junior tennis player. You got a full scholarship for the Big Ten Championship Northwestern tennis team. And I want to ask you a little bit about, at what point did you know that that's what you wanted to do? I mean, I was watching last night the diving, and one of the little girls, little, and I mean little, they said she weighs 70 pounds. They said she started diving when she was 4, which seems almost awful to me as a mom. But are some kids born with it and they know they want to do it and their parents support them? Or is it the parents that see it and then say, okay, I'm going to make a diver out of you for the Olympics in 10 years?
It's a great question. And having worked with lots of families, it's a very challenging question. For me personally, I started playing tennis when I was 4. I remember my first tennis lesson. I remember the details of it. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really a cool feeling. And I was totally, from that moment on, addicted to the feeling and the sound of a tennis ball hitting strings. Did it all the time. It was total
so it was in
bliss
you.
For me.
It was in you.
It was in me. I would say that there were times, of course, so as you start to get better and as your training and the intensity starts ramping, it does lose at moments some of the joy. Some of the passion does fade, and it ebbs and flows. And if you don't have people, you know, riding you, nudging you, and supporting you, it is hard to sustain that kind of passion. And when you're playing in college tennis or you're playing as a professional, you're all of a sudden now getting paid to do it, and it can definitely eat away at some of the joy. I think some people are born with some kind of gift, and it's just what they connect to. For whatever reason, it's what they love. Most kids are not like that. It doesn't necessarily just come out like that. They like to be better at something before they really enjoy it. So whenever I'm working with a family, I'm always sort of getting parents to talk about lots of positive reinforcement so that they get their kids enjoying something, and kids make a strong connection between, oh, I'm a little better at this, which means I'm drawing more positive esteem from it, and all of a sudden they start liking it. But the line parents teeter on of encouragement without being too aggressive in their nudges is a very challenging one. And I do not think most kids at 4 years old are totally connected to their
And I don't gift. Think they remember the sound of the ball hitting the strings on their tennis racket. But I think there are those kids that they knew what they wanted to do. And my friend Travis is a triathlete, and he does it because he loves it. It's in him. He gets up in the morning, and every single day of his life, even when he travels, he trains just for the competition. He doesn't care about the Olympics. He's a triathlete, and it brings him joy. I want to ask you this, since you have been in these highly competitive situations and coached other people to be. Last night, again, I saw people closing their eyes, some of the sprinters and some of the divers, and gathering their thoughts. What are they thinking? What did you think? I mean, I want to get inside the mind of an athlete, because it is so much more than the physical training and the rigors that involves. There's the spiritual and mental piece that are equally as important. So what are they thinking? What were you thinking?
So in those moments when the pressure's riding and you have intense adrenaline and nerves going through your system, which all of these athletes are having. They have been trained for many, many hours, many, many years to prepare in that moment to focus on highly specific things that they can control, whether it's deep breathing, whether it's keeping their arms in a certain position, but they are focusing a lot on those things within their control, because clearly, and I'm sure you remember this from my lecture, is you know that you cannot control results. You cannot directly control outcomes. And in those moments when you're really super jazzed, you can't just turn your mind off. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
You can't get into that sort of zone where your mind is thinking nothing. So you take a deep breath, and instead of trying to think of nothing, you replace the thought oftentimes with a highly specific focus of a certain muscle, of breath, of, you know, extension, of reaching, of maybe counting, something that is highly specifically within your control.
Well, it's something that I am not, but there's also the metaphor for, you know, I've been reading a lot of Martha Beck's books, and she talks about play. And when we did the bracelet exercise, which is a story for another show, it's about I put on mine conscious play, and she talks about playing at something that it seems like the most difficult of challenges. And I really get that, because that is kind of your message, is just keep it all in perspective and keep going. Keep one foot in front of the other, even if it's, you know, working to become a nationally syndicated radio talk show, you know, everyday household word.
Absolutely.
It's the same application.
When am I going to get you on my rock and roll tennis court?
Yeah, that's the next.
You'll consciously be playing.
I will consciously be playing, and I cannot wait to see you again, and I love having you on the show. And I think I've said this before, and we'll make it happen. I'd love to have you as a guest for the entire show. So we have to leave it here with words of wisdom from Lee Weinraub, who works at Miraval Resort and Spa, heaven on earth, according to Mrs. Green. And Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you for your tennis coaching and your
wellness counseling.
You
are a wise woman, and the world is a better place because you're in it.
Have an amazing weekend.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Okay,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Lee. We are so blessed to have people like Lee on the planet, and I cannot say enough about what an unbelievable lecture she gave. And I was sitting there, she's young, she's in her 30s, and I'm thinking, how did someone get that much wisdom? So I'll do a little shout out now about one of our national sponsors. Our national partners is Ecobella. It's very apropos of our main guest today, who is Deborah Lynn Dadd. Deborah is truly an expert on toxins. I think she might be the original Queen of Green, author of the book Toxic Free, public speaker, consultant, and it was very apropos to do this shout out about Ecobella, because I doubt that I would be able to stump Deborah. I never try to stump a guest anyway. But Ecobella, their founder, Sally Malenga, certainly figured out the risks of toxins in our cosmetics, our skincare, our personal care products over 20 years ago. So Deborah was 10 years ahead of her, and she did something about it. She started a company called Ecobella. And their skincare products are truly amazing. Their ingredients are pure, they're safe, they're gluten-free, cruelty-free, talc-free. I've interviewed Sally on the show. And they care about our safety, about what they put in their products, about sourcing them, about the packaging of them. And for me, I think it's really important that as consumers, we support companies that walk the walk. And Ecobella is one of them. I'm proud that they're a partner of ours and a supporter of Mrs. Green's World. You can visit them at ecobella.com. And now, without further ado, I am so excited to have on the air Deborah Lynn Dadd. As I said earlier, she is an expert on toxins. She's author of the book Toxic Free. She is a public speaker. She's a consultant. They've had articles about her in the New York Times before I was thinking about what gluten-free or talc-free or toxin-free even meant. Deborah, thank you so much. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I am very excited. So I always like to start in the beginning, and someday I'm going to sing that song about let's start at the very beginning.
A very good place to start.
Start. There you go. I love it. When you read, you begin. Let's go with that
a little bit.
We knew we were going to have fun.
When you sing, you began with Do, Re, Mi.
Yeah, no, we began with the toxins. Unbelievable. What blows me away the most, maybe, is that you were on this 30 years ago when I was still probably stopping at McDonald's with my kids. I mean, maybe not quite 30 years ago, 25 years ago, and learning so much in the past, maybe 8 to 10 years. How did you start paying attention so early? What was the beginning? Let's start at the beginning.
I promise not to sing again.
No, I loved it. I loved it. You have no idea how much I loved it. And we might end with that.
We might end with a song.
We could end with Climb Every Mountain.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be perfect.
I first became interested in toxic chemicals in 1978 when I began to have a wide variety of symptoms that seemed to be unrelated. I had constant headaches. I had insomnia every night. Like, really, I would just lie there in bed and not sleep. I would faint when I would take a shower. I would get all spaced out and just start staring into space and, like, what's going on? Where am I? And uncontrollable urges to eat sugar. And I was depressed a lot of the time. And that's just a handful of the symptoms that I would have. What illness is that? And it turned out that it was exposure to toxic chemicals. And the way I found out about that was that my mother actually was dying of cancer. And my father took her to a doctor who gave intravenous vitamin C treatments. Now, at the time, nobody did that.
No kidding.
So my father found somebody who was willing to do that. And this particular doctor also practiced what was called at the time environmental medicine. I think it's still called that. And what he would do is he would test people in his office for different chemicals that they were being exposed to. And it's called provocative neutralization testing. And you go to the doctor and you get the test, and whatever your symptoms are, turn on. And then they give you more of that same chemical, and they turn off. And at that time, I don't know if they still do this treatment, but at that time you could get what were called antigens, and you could take the chemical as an antidote to your reaction to the chemical, kind of like homeopathy.
Right.
And I don't recommend that people do that, because why put more toxic chemicals in your body? It's better to get relief from them by not being exposed to them. But as my father was sitting there waiting for my mother to get her intravenous vitamin C, he just was watching these people have the symptoms getting turned on and turned off by exposure to these chemicals. And he said, those are my daughter's symptoms. That's exactly what's going on with her. And he wanted me to go to the doctor. And I said no, that I wouldn't. And I later learned that one of my symptoms of chemical exposure was to be belligerent and not take care of myself.
Wow. Wow.
And there was one night when I was crying uncontrollably, which was another one of my symptoms, and he had learned that you could take Alka-Seltzer in the gold package, put it in some water, and if you drink it, it would turn off the symptoms to being exposed to chemicals. And so he did that, and he handed me this glass, and he said, here, take this. And I said, I will not. And I threw the glass across the room against the wall, and there's like water and Alka-Seltzer all over the place. And he actually had to wrestle me to the ground and hold my nose and pour it down my throat. And within 1 minute, my symptoms disappeared. And it was like I woke up and said, what just happened? And that convinced me that I was being exposed to something that was making me sick, not only in my body, but in my mind. And I went down and got tested. And, of course, it showed that I was reacting to all the chemicals that they test for. And then I had to figure out what to do, because it didn't make sense to me to take more chemicals to get well from this. And so I decided that I would start avoiding toxic chemicals in my home. But there was no information. There really was no information.
Especially way back then. I mean,
this was in 1978. There was no information.
Nothing. Like nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I want to tell you, We have to take a break. I hate that about the show, but our sponsors love it. So let's go back to that. What a compelling story, and just absolutely leaves me speechless, which is a rarity. So everybody, we're going to have to take a quick break. I'm sure you're going to want to stay here with us. We are interviewing Deborah Lynn Dadd, the queen of toxins, expert, lots to share about our health. Please stay here with me. Mrs. Green's World. Lots to think about.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best. An Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. Did you know that the 2012 VW Beetle has been completely redesigned, that it has exciting new features, look, and performance, and that it is one of Oprah's best things for 2012? The best news is Chapman VW has them in stock. Check out the new Beetle at Chapman VW at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan, or visit them at TucsonVW.com. Be sure to tell them that Mrs. Green sent you.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job, but that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years, and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Did you know that even a donated doorknob can help Habitat for Humanity? Habitat's Habistore accepts donated items like furniture, building materials, and appliances. Donations come from commercial builders, malls, restaurants, hotels, and individuals like you. Then, items are bought by bargain hunters who come across the very things they are looking for, just like the right doorknob. The best part is that Habistore sales generate funds for building homes. Call 520-889-7200 or visit HabitatTucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. We have an incredible guest today, Deborah Lynn Dadd. She is an expert on toxins from a very, very personal level. Over 30 years ago, she was incredible. She was sick, and her dad was her connection to becoming healthy and to really be making a difference for all of us on the planet. I just have a quick announcement about this show today is sponsored in part by Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. They're a proud partner of ours. Their tagline, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, where our business is changing lives. My personal observation and that of many of my friends, they are indeed changing many of lives. Thank you for your support of Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And please remember to join me every Saturday live at noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. If you have any questions, email info@MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our shows are podcasts so that you'll be able to hear the entire show that Deborah Lynn is doing with me now. about toxins. She's written a book called Toxin Free. She's a public speaker. She's a consultant. Deborah, what a compelling story. And thank you even more. There's no song to begin this segment with because it's like, oh my goodness, this is quite a story. And I just have to just add a little bit. What part of what started me on the journey is a book called Living Green by Greg Horn, I believe his name is. And it was almost the same kind of thing. He was older, though, and he got what was basically then diagnosed as environmental disease and was deathly, deathly ill, and through a journey of testing found out it was the toxins. So let's pick up where you left off. Your dad force-fed you some Alka-Seltzer. that's the truth.
And it showed me that there was something in my environment that was affecting me, that I wasn't just crazy, you know, that there was actually a cause and an effect. And so at this point, I was so disabled that I really had a difficult time getting out of bed in the morning. And I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. I was living with my father. This was after my mother died of cancer. And it turned out, I just want to add as an aside, that it turned out that my neighborhood where I grew up in was a cancer cluster.
Oh my gosh.
And that there were factories upwind from where we lived. And so all these toxic chemicals from the factories were coming down into our neighborhood. And that's where I grew up.
Which made it worse for you because you're already obviously sensitive. So this was just adding insult to injury.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So what I did was that I just, one day, one of the patients in the doctor's office said, "Are you still sleeping on formaldehyde-soaked sheets?" And I said, "What?
What is
formaldehyde on the sheets? Why do they put formaldehyde on the sheets?" And it turns out that every polyester cotton sheet that's sold and all the permanent press cotton sheets all have a formaldehyde-based resin on them, even today.
Still?
That emits formaldehyde while you are sleeping, even after you wash the sheets. And so all these people, how many billions of dollars worth of sleeping pills are sold in America, and how many of those people are sleeping on just ordinary bed sheets that are exposing them to formaldehyde every night?
Why do they put formaldehyde in them?
Because it makes them wrinkle-free.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And so it's these supposed consumer benefits, like people don't want to iron their sheets, so now we'll put some toxic formaldehyde on them so they don't have to iron them, and people buy it because they don't want to iron their sheets. Now, I personally sleep on cotton sheets, cotton flannel sheets, 365 days a year, because they have no formaldehyde on them. It's only the ones that are what's called percale, that is just the regular weave on the cotton.
Right.
They all have this formaldehyde finish on them. But flannel does not, and I find flannel to be softer, more comfortable, more absorbent even in the summer. I live in Florida where it gets very hot and it's more comfortable to sleep with a flannel sheet.
Did you ever find out how that woman knew there was formaldehyde in the sheets? I mean, seriously, who would know this? I'm Mrs. Green. I had no idea.
Well, there. You mentioned environmental sickness. It's actually called environmental illness, and that's what it was called at the time, and that there were support groups of people who were very small support groups of people who knew about this and were being diagnosed with it, and that they were starting to do some research. But there were no books like mine at the time. The closest thing was an allergy book. There was one allergy book that was talking about environmental illness. So I just pulled myself out of bed every morning, and I would go to the Poison Control Center, and I would go to the library, and I would go to medical libraries. I would look in manufacturing manuals to see what they were putting in the products. And I started piecing this all together, and I started working with other patients, and I saw that as I could identify where the chemical was in my house and remove it, then I started feeling better. So, for example, when I stopped wearing perfume, I didn't have headaches anymore. When I changed, here's the thing that was really the kicker for me. I found out in a medical book that formaldehyde causes insomnia. And here, insomnia was like my biggest symptom, and it was the formaldehyde on my bed sheets. And as soon as I changed my sheets to untreated sheets, which were very difficult to find in 1978, then I slept. And fainting in the shower turned out to be the chlorine used to disinfect water actually turns into chloroform. It turns into chloroform, and you've got steam rising of chloroform in the shower. No wonder I'm fainting. Chloroform is the stuff in the old movies that they, you know, put on the rag and they put it over your nose to knock people out. And my father rigged up the first shower filter that ever existed. We went down to the hardware store and got a chlorine filter for undersink. He put it up on my shower head, and I could take a shower without fainting. It was so clear that my symptoms were related to what I was being exposed to.
And that was another hidden one, because a lot of what you talk about in the book,
a lot of them are hidden.
It's hidden. Who would know this?
Well, they're not on the label. It doesn't say on the label that you've got all these toxic chemicals in these products, and it still doesn't say that. And that's still one of the biggest problems. If they were to actually put on the label what the toxic chemicals are, I think people would be appalled.
I think they would be appalled and maybe start getting a lot healthier. This there's two shockers now that blew me away. Formaldehyde on the sheets. I will get over this for like a really long time, and I'll put it in the teasers for, you know, once we post this show. I mean, that just blows me away. But it sounds like I'm going to say this. It's a God thing. You had like a little angel messenger that said, "Are you sleeping on formaldehyde sheets?"
Yes, it was like a little messenger.
Seriously.
I mean, she just said it, and I picked it up,
and
I said,
"What?"
But here's the thing. Here's the most important thing that I want your listeners to know is that after doing all this research and eliminating all these toxic chemicals, I got well. I actually regained my health, and I realized not only did I regain my health, I was healthier than I've ever been, and my health continues to improve every year. Instead of getting sicker as I get older, I get healthier. And so the thing is that when I saw that it was completely unnecessary for me to be sick from these toxic chemicals, if somebody had just told me that you can eliminate toxic chemicals and just be healthy, maybe then I would have had a chance to do that without being sick. And when I saw that, I just said, you know what, I just have to tell the world this, because there's so many people that are sick and don't know that it's toxic chemicals. And I've been talking about this for 30 years, and still everybody doesn't know that it's toxic chemicals. But the more I research this, the more information that we have. When I was writing my newest book, Toxic Free, I actually pieced together that every single illness, every symptom is associated with toxic chemical exposure. There's not one thing that could be wrong with your body that could not be helped by avoiding toxic chemicals.
You know, I am going to absolutely go on record as saying I agree with you. I think people look at me like I'm crazy, and I don't know a tenth. I don't know one thousandth of what you know. So I'm going to ask you about things like autism, the alarming growth rates in autism. The only difference on the planet between kids 30 and 40 years ago is what they eat and what they breathe and the environments in which they live. So you're saying autism, more and more scientific, quote-unquote, research is coming out supporting that it's toxins, it's food, it's dyes. So are you...
Well, it's not just autism. It's diabetes is now associated with it.
Fibromyalgia. Let's talk about
fibromyalgia. I mean, just you can name anything. They all are. And I can actually go... You could go online and type in stuff like... overweight and toxic chemicals, and it would come up and give you there's actually studies for these things. It's really quite amazing. And in my book, one of the things that I did was that I described the different body systems. Like there's a whole group of chemicals, for instance, called endocrine disruptors.
Right.
One of those is BPA.
I've written blogs about
which is
that.
Very
yes.
Popular. Yes. Well, most people don't even know what their endocrine system is or how it works or how these endocrine disruptors can affect your body. But the endocrine system is a series of glands that all communicate with each other. And there are things like your adrenal gland and your thyroid and your pituitary gland and your entire reproductive system. And so if you're overweight or tired or no interest in sex or any of those things that relate to any of these glands. It's all those chemicals. It's just that group of chemicals that are affecting all these things in that body system. There's another group of chemicals that are destroying your DNA. There's another group. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and cover every part of your body. There's groups of chemicals that are affecting your nervous
and our
system.
Endocrine system is kind of like, it's to me, it's the engine. It's the engine that really gets us
it
charged
is.
On all the cylinders. It's the
it is.
It's the
if your
hub.
Endocrine system isn't working, you've got a lot wrong with your body. And so here we have infertility, for example, as a big issue today, with women not being able to get pregnant. I mean, how many zillions of dollars of money is being spent on Viagra? Those guys should just change their sheets.
I'm telling you, I hope 100,000 people listen to the show. I am so not kidding. It's shocking. So you have mentioned two, which everybody sleeps on sheets that I know of, and everybody that I know of takes showers. We're assaulted, that's how I feel, excuse me, in every way, in what we eat, in the air we breathe, in the food that we buy. And it's, even if you have your own garden, there's things that blow in the wind, and there's pesticides from neighbors' yards.
What are
some other hidden toxins? I think people want to know about this, and they're waking up in record numbers 30 years after you did. So what are some other hidden toxins that even I might not know about? Because those are two that I didn't even ever give a thought to.
Well, a really big one is fragrance. And when I say fragrance, I'm talking about perfume, aftershave, and anything that's scented. And it's even actually getting worse than it was 30 years ago because manufacturers, especially in scented products, are putting in stronger and stronger fragrances. And the thing about this is that these are artificial, for the most part, they're artificial fragrances that are made from petroleum. And there can be hundreds of toxic chemicals in a single scent.
And the cheap part of petroleum, it's like the dregs, it's like the pond scum at the bottom. It's not...
It's very toxic.
It's toxic.
It's very toxic, yeah. And so, like, you'll wash your clothes in scented laundry detergent, and the scent stays on the clothes, and then you're breathing it. So I'm not saying that there should be no fragrance in the world, but if you have pure, natural, totally natural essential oils
like lavender
and lavender
and rose,
but you need to make sure that they really are completely like steam extracted and not solvent extracted. And so there are I want people to know, I don't want them to come away from the show thinking everything is toxic in the world. I want them to know that there are many overwhelmingly amount of toxic stuff in the world. But there are other things that are not toxic, and that if we know how to choose those not toxic things, then we can create a safe home environment that really will help support your health.
And when I go into people's houses, I mean, I don't want to be the person that shows up and they say, oh my gosh, Mrs. Green is here, you know, at parties and things like that. But when I go into a house, you can't, to know better is to do better, and I see things like Bounce, and I gulp, I gasp. Because, I mean, my mother was one of the ones that, from the beginning, she said, it's just no good. She'd say, it's no good for business. It's just no good. We don't need Bounce. Never used it. Put her clothes out on the line for as long as she could.
Yeah.
And Febreze. I don't mind calling out chemicals. I see the commercials and I'm like, you are lying. This is not good for you.
Yeah.
Don't use it.
Yeah, they don't. The manufacturers put in chemicals and they don't tell us. And, I mean, one of the things that I think needs to happen is that we really do need to have laws that say you need to say what is in the product so that we can make decisions. That's the hardest part of my job, is just being able to figure out where are the hidden toxic chemicals. Now, I know a lot of it because I've been researching for 30 years, but still, it's, you know, you can have something like, here's another thing with formaldehyde in it, and formaldehyde can give you all kinds of symptoms from like runny nose and itchy eyes
and I'm sure
cancer.
Headaches.
Cancer. And headaches and
oh,
insomnia.
Cancer.
Oh, cancer, yeah. So So everybody knows what particle board is, and it's ubiquitous in our world now. If you go down to a lumber yard, there's supposed to be a warning label on it that says this product contains formaldehyde and it causes all these symptoms. But as soon as you cut it and make it into, say, a stereo speaker or a piece of furniture.
Or a bookshelf. Yeah.
As soon as you do that, you don't, by law, need to put the warning label on it anymore. It's exactly the same material.
Okay, we have to take another break, but I'm hanging on your every word. I'm sure our listeners are also. We're interviewing Deborah Lynn Dadd.
Toxic free, please stay here with us.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green with some great news about the all-new 2012 VW Passat. It's 2012 Motor Trend Car of the Year, best in class for legroom, and has standard Bluetooth technology. VW thought of everything by giving the Passat a brand new sleek design that conveys confidence and assertiveness. If you're looking for the best ownership experience possible and a great new Passat, visit Chapman Tucson at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to clean up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And if your mind is not reeling from our guest today, Deborah Lynn Dadd, an expert on toxins. She's an author of the book Toxic Free, public speaker, consultant.
And I use the phrase early adopter, which means, Deborah, you were doing this when I was still not thinking about toxins and spraying perfume on my body. And who knows the things, you know, like my thyroid is something that I had zapped a long time ago. I often think if I had known better, I would have done
fluoride.
Better.
It's fluoride in the water that causes which we add. Thyroid illness.
It's like, Okay, we're adding that. So our teeth are stronger or whatever. Just put a chemical in there and make sure that you use it a lot. I know it's pretty daunting. Before we end up and I'm, you know, cutting you off because it's the end of the show, let's talk about your website. Give the website and we'll try to get it in one more time. And of course, I will be doing lots to promote your site, your information, and you. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you. Well, first of all, the website address, I have a short one you can get there, is just dld123.com.
Okay,
like
that's
my
as
initials.
Quick as 123, DLD.
DLD123, even rhymes. And what you can find there is, first of all, you can find my book, Toxic Free. You can also, I have an incredible directory called Deborah's List that has all kinds of non-toxic products. I've got nearly 1,000 links on there. But each of those links takes you to websites where they have hundreds and thousands of products. So you really, at this point in time, I can honestly say that I could pretty much find a non-toxic alternative to anything. So if you don't find it on my website, I also have a Q&A blog where you can pose a question and I and my readers will answer. And you can even call me up on the phone personally and ask me your questions.
And you answer the phone. I can attest to that.
And I answer the phone, yes. Yes.
I can
and
attest
people
to that.
Tell me, I mean, it's a paid consultation, but people tell me that they save money and they save time because they can just call me and I can just give them the answer right away. I just saved one man who's remodeling his house. I saved him $15,000. Just in answering one question.
You're kidding. We don't want to give it away because you can want that to be a consulting call, but like I'm dying to know, another hidden treasure.
Well, it had to do with what kind of HVAC system he chose.
Okay.
And choosing one that was non-toxic. I've done so much building and remodeling on my own and consulting over all these years that I just know how to do all these things because I have all the experience with it. It's not something like a lot of people write about toxics today, but they don't have background and they don't know how to evaluate what's toxic or not toxic. And that's the difference between what other people are saying. I'm not saying that everybody else is wrong, of course. I'm just saying that I have more background and experience. And most of the information that a lot of people get, they get it from stuff I've already written.
And the thing that is hard for me as Mrs. Green is that there's not only a lot of information out there, there's conflicting information. So mm-hmm. I have to find websites that I trust, which certainly yours is going to be top of mind now. I would like to just segue for a minute on another specific because you thought it important enough to write a separate book about it that you make available free about sunscreens. And I write about sunscreens. I'm proud to say I wrote a blog about endocrine disruptors. I actually wrote an entire newsletter about it. And people were blown away because I'm trying to reach mainstream America that get absolutely overwhelmed by the vast amount of information that's out there. And people say to me all the time, it just shuts me down. Tell me one place to start. So can we talk about sunscreens for a minute and why you thought this topic was so important that you wrote an entire book about it? And what did you find?
Why I thought it was so important that I wrote an entire ebook about it is because I couldn't find a sunscreen that I thought was safe. And I still can't find a sunscreen that I think is safe.
Interesting.
And I live in Florida where there's a lot of sun. And what I did, and you can read all this in the ebook, is that I really researched what happens with how skin gets affected by sun. And that there are other things. You know, sunscreen, I don't even know when they made the first sunscreen, but like 125 years ago, it didn't exist. And people were doing things like carrying parasols and covering up their bodies and going inside during the heat of the day so that they're not getting the strongest rays from the sun. And I actually outlined this whole strategy about how you can live in a place like Florida. And I've lived here for 10 years, and I've never had a sunburn, and I've never had a sun problem. One of my great aunts lived in Santa Barbara for much of her life, and she was a model when she was younger, and she never left the house without a wide-brimmed hat. She never wore sunscreen. She wore a wide-brimmed hat.
And she probably kept her hands covered up, too, because sunscreen...
Gloves. She wore gloves.
She wore gloves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And she wasn't putting chemicals on her body. And there are all these old technologies like this, where this is the way people used to do things before we had chemicals. And a lot of the research that I've done has just been to look back in time and say, well, what did we do before we had sunscreen? What did we do before we had, Teflon pans? that all these things didn't really
appear.
We just added
chemicals and preservatives and starting getting the house sprayed for so you don't see bugs in the house. And it's just the sunscreen thing I will look into because, I mean, we just came back from a staycation at a resort. And the most fun thing the kids like to do is stay in the pool for hours. And I can tell you this. We did not go out until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We did other things.
And that was the right thing to
do. And I said, there's no protection. And the kids loved it too. We did other things until it was, I felt better to go out and didn't slather them with sunscreen, but I do use it and I try to do my homework. So that's just another daunting thing for me to consider.
Well, it's just really, there is a non-toxic alternative to everything. I'm about to start a food blog. It should be up in another couple weeks, where I'm going to have lots of recipes for how to prepare organic food, because you don't want to eat canned food because of the BPA and the can lining.
Right.
And so then if you're accustomed to eating canned food, well, now what are you going to do if you don't know how to cook? So this food blog is dedicated to helping people who have not known how to cook actually be able to prepare healthy food from actual raw organic ingredients. And there's also a lot of really wonderful but unusual ingredients available now, like grass-fed beef and coconut oil and all these wonderful sweeteners. And they require some learning how to do it, because they don't behave in the same way as foods that we're accustomed to using. And so I'm sorting all that out and figuring it all out and giving everybody instructions. And so my work is really dedicated to showing people that there's a non-toxic world out there, that we don't have to live with toxic chemicals just because that's what's predominant. There's one other thing that I want to mention, because I don't want us to run out of time without me saying it. In my book, Toxic Free, I talk about two things. I talk about eliminating toxic chemicals so that you're not exposed to them in the first place. But the whole second half of the book is about how to get toxic chemicals out of your body.
Out of your body. And I was going to ask that. Thank you. It's on my question list. What do you do with the stuff you have in there already, which we all do?
Well, there are a lot of things. I talk about a lot of different methods in my book. Like, even if you just drink enough water, it will help release the toxic chemicals in your body. But it has to be clean water, not tap water, because that just puts more toxic stuff in your body. If you eat more vegetables, that helps detox your body. If you exercise, it releases the toxic chemicals so that they can be excreted. But you may need some help. Most people have damaged kidneys and damaged livers from the toxic chemicals. And those are the very organs we need to detox our bodies. There's also a product that I've been taking for a couple of years that is zeolite. It's a natural mineral that acts like a little sponge in your body, and it attracts the chemicals and metals like a magnet. And within 4 to 6 hours, they just get excreted out of your body. And so that's there's all kinds of things that you can do. There's lots of choices. And so it's just a matter of you deciding that you want to remove some toxic chemicals. And these are all safe and effective things,
and they can
to do,
find,
but people don't know it.
They can find a lot of this information out on your website, and I hope they do. I liken it to, with the research I've done, and I'm always like, what am I going to write about? Because there are so many unending number of topics. But to think about I read about that on your website, it's like a little Pac-Man that goes around and, you know, a Pac-Man magnet that eats up all the bad things and help us get back to that healthier balance.
You know, it's like, even if, I mean, it's a very inexpensive product. It's like $25 for a month's worth. And even if somebody were to do nothing except take that product, then they would be helping themselves. There's so many choices that we could do.
And what do you do about, I'm curious to know, with how bold and knowledgeable and brave you are about the information, have you gotten pushback from any of the big guys that say you don't know what you're talking about, or are they not paying attention to you? Because to me, there's almost no products out there, when I read about, that promote themselves as being green, that are, you know, this is nature friendly. Clorox, excuse me? It's like, is a green Clorox.
Well,
I'm like, what are you
become,
talking about?
It's become, there's so much interest in green things that there's a lot of greenwashing going on.
Lots.
And nobody has, none of the big guys have come after me to try to discredit me yet. But I think that they can't really, because my work is based on sound science, you know, that I'm looking at actual studies that show, I mean, there's not always a study that says, we studied people sleeping on formaldehyde covered bed sheets, and these are the symptoms we found. No,
right,
that
right.
doesn't happen. What happens is that I find a study that says, if you're exposed to formaldehyde, this is what happens. And then I find something else that says, you know, there's formaldehyde on bed sheets. And you put those two things together. And, you know, it's like, how can they deny this? I mean, they can. But when you start having hundreds of thousands and millions of people who stop using formaldehyde bed sheets, for example, or filter their water, and they see an improvement in their health, it's obvious. It's obvious. It's so logical. It's just that you don't think of it. Like, before somebody suggested to me that there were toxic chemicals in my house, I would have never thought of it.
They are,
because
they
you
are
have this
silent
idea.
Killers. I mean, they're silent,
they are.
Literally,
they are.
Silent, deadly
they are.
Killers.
And we are all being poisoned unless we are doing something to not have ourselves be poisoned.
Assaulted. That's how I feel
assaulted
sometimes.
Is a very
and, like,
good
when
word.
I go into someone's house or into an office or a business location, I know if they're what I call spraying toxic fake scents at me, those little
mm-hmm.
time release things that you plug
mm-hmm.
in. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
are you kidding? And I say to my husband, I can't breathe in here. Like, this is making me sick, because you do desensitize
mm-hmm.
as you remove them. And I
you
believe
do.
Me, our house is a work in progress. We've made so much progress. I mean, let's bring up that I've read probably 10 articles in the past 3 months about the toxicity levels on receipts that you get from ATMs and gas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
there's toxic chemicals. So it's to me the cumulative effect. It's not just the receipt you're going to touch. It's not
That's
just
That's right. It is
it's
the cumulative
everything
effect.
That you're
it
being
is.
Assaulted
it
with
is.
And you can just start taking steps to do better. I harp on I'm a minimalist in terms of product use, but before I walk out of the house in the morning, I have put 13 products on my body, including deodorant. You have to count toothpaste because there is an absorption rate. You know, I use shampoo and conditioner and then a little styling gel. And when you count, you know, eyeshadow and mascara and eyeliner, it all adds up. When I did it, I'm like, I am a minimalist. And I'm like, 13 products before I walk out the door in the morning, that's assault. You have to be really
that
careful.
That is assault. But, you know, it has to do with how we think about ourselves. And I know that I used to be quite a fashionista many years ago before I discovered toxic chemicals. And I wouldn't leave the house
without my... That's a story of another book. I used to be a fashionista.
It is. Is that a great title?
It is a great title. Write it down.
But now, you know, I consider my natural beauty and I consider... You know, I don't want to put all those toxic things on my body. And so I use much less than 13 things. I have beautiful non-toxic makeup that I put on when I need to.
Right.
But I don't need to wear makeup in every day anymore. I don't wear perfume every day
anymore. Ever. I don't wear perfume
ever.
Ever.
No. I mean, I don't even wear deodorant. But and nobody thinks that I smell.
I haven't seen any posts on your blogs about Deborah, note to self, put wear some deodorant, so it must be working. Now we have less than 2 minutes left, and I want them to be all yours. I want you to tell our audience where they start, how to have it not be overwhelming, what your website is in less than 2 minutes.
Okay, so where they should start is with my book, Toxic Free, because I wrote that book specifically to tell people where to start. It has 50 things you can do, things that anybody can do to start to remove toxic chemicals from your home. It has the basic information on how to remove toxic chemicals from your body. And if you just start with that book, you'll get a basic overview and things
you
can do.
And you could check
do.
Them off, like one a day or,
yes.
you know, what,
yes.
yeah, okay.
And it also has a whole chapter about toxic chemicals and the environment. So that we haven't even talked about that.
Right.
And I'll have to come back and we'll just do a show
You'll
on
You'll have
that.
To come back and tell us your website because
yeah.
we have 1 minute
it's
again.
DLD123.com. If you just go to the homepage there, there's like a index map of everything that's on the site. And you could just spend hours there, and you can always call me up and ask me a question.
And it's life-saving. That's what I want to say. You could spend
it
hours
is.
There, and the life you save may be your own or your children's or your grandchildren. Deborah, it has been a privilege. The time has flown. I know we will stay connected. I know that I want to be a part of your world, and I'm glad that you're a part of mine. So everybody, stay with, connected with me on Facebook or Twitter, Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Make it a great green week.